So, this is a story of the woman anointing Jesus. It's in all four gospel messages about the anointing. And each of the gospel writers tells it from a different perspective. John tells it from the perspective of the house of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Lazarus had been dead, and Jesus brought him to life again. And Jesus stops at their house. And can you imagine that celebration they were having about the gift that God, that Jesus gave them in the life of their brother, whom they had buried him. They had wrapped him in the funeral cloths and put him in the tomb and sealed the tomb. And then they had him in their family gathering once again. So here was Jesus, and they were celebrating. And Mary used her money and bought a gift to tell Jesus how grateful she was for the gift of life and the gift of grace that he gave her family. So she took this perfume, this nard, and she anointed him with it. And what John tells us, the whole room was filled with the odor of this perfume. So I went, I wonder what nard smells like. You know, was this the smell we wanted to smell? What does nard smell like? So I looked it up, and it's this earthy, musty smell. So I was thinking, the room smelled like a tomb. The room smelled like a tomb. This gift of this expensive perfume was a precursor of the tomb that would one day be Jesus' tomb. So she was honoring the gift of his death, life, and resurrection when she anointed him for the gift that he gave them and the life of Jesus. So it made me stop and ask that question, what is my fragrance of grace? So let that settle in for a minute, fragrance of grace. When we were talking about it at 8:30 at Awakenings, they all had this look. Fragrance of grace? What are you talking about? So I told them about mine. I told them about New England coastline. Anybody been to New England and been to the coast? There's this, we would call it seaweed. It's called rockweed. And rockweed is all over the rocks. And when the tide is down, there is a particular odor at the New England coastline. In fact, when I took Leo on vacation, this was a vacation I took him on, though he let me ride on the back of his motorcycle. Anyway, we were up there, and we were in Maine, and it was low tide. And Leo was smelling, kind of like Thor, you know, smelling. I said, doesn't that bring back memories? And he goes, yeah, I forgot this is what the ocean smells like. So for New Englanders, this is what the ocean smells like. Your ocean doesn't have near the odor our ocean does. Same ocean, but just different odors. But when I think of that smell, what I remember is the woman I was before Christ. Because most of my time in New England, I was a woman before Christ. And that smell reminds me, but for the grace of God, I could still be that woman. Maybe even worse. So the smell of grace, the smell that reminds me of the gift of life that God gave me, is the smell of the New England coastline. And so then as we were talking, one of them said, you know, it's when I turn the earth in spring. That smell of the earth as I turn it for the first time, for new life to grow in the fields. And another spoke of the smell of the barnyard, of hay and horses and dogs and fur and all those things that remind us of the good grace of God. You know, our nose will always remember. And those smells that bring back memories can bring back those memories of that moment. Say when we were baptized. If you were baptized in a pond or in some living body of water, you might remember the smell of that water before you remember your baptism. So allow your nose sometimes to lead you, because it can also lead you to those places, those smells that tell you, I remember that person. I don't want to be them anymore. But when I think about communion, it's the smell of fresh baked bread. When I break open that loaf that's sitting here on the table, that's been in the family tradition for years, do you know what that communion bread smells like? Have you ever smelled the communion bread? It is this just glorious smell to remind me that but for the grace of God, go I. But there's more to this story than just this gift. She was giving to God all that she had in that bottle of perfume to say, thank you. Thank you for the gift of life you gave my family. And we, as followers of Jesus Christ, should take moments like that and thank God for the gifts that we have. The gifts of a roof over our head, the gift of family and friends, the gift of a church, the gift of a community. We need to spend time in gratitude to the one who provided it all. But there's more to this story. There's the story of Judas and his reaction to that gift. His reaction is, wait a minute, that money could have gone in the treasury because we need it for the poor. So he condemns her gift without really giving the motivation for why he wants that money. And it reminded me, and I don't know if it reminds you, of how human the church is. That we want to be followers of Jesus Christ. We want to give God all the glory for what God has done for our lives. We want to be followers and go out into the world and do the things we can. But then we squabble over the money. We squabble about how we're going to use it. Do we need it for this? Do we need it for that? Do we need to keep it for ourselves? Because, you know, there might be that lean time when God doesn't provide. There might be that lean time when God doesn't provide. You know, we need to first give God the glory and allow God to provide what God will provide so that God can use us for the kingdom of God. And what may help us is when we remember that fragrance of grace in our lives. On Easter, Judy will have lined up all the Easter lilies. And so when I smell a real Easter lily, it's a potent smell, isn't it? Can you imagine if she didn't take those yellow stems out, what this, the room would be filled with the smell of grace and thanksgiving for all God has given us. And we get that list of the names in memory and in honor of, we're thanking God for the gift of people in our lives. People who have meant some saving grace for us. Maybe the one who taught us about Jesus in Sunday school. Maybe the one who cradled our children when they were crying. Or maybe the one who did what needed to be done so that the roof would stay on the church. The one whose rock got turned over so that we could continue to be the place where the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ could be proclaimed. Maybe the one who had that amazing recipe for barbecue that continues to bring people in through our doors so that we can tell the story of salvation to whoever steps in. Maybe it's the one who gave us the funky Christmas tree out of feathers that got to go out into the community. The fragrance of grace is what we need to remember, so that we remember what our mission is. God died. The smell of the tomb. God died that we might have life. God rose from the dead so that we might have life. The smell of the tomb was upon him just as he was getting ready to enter into the gates of Jerusalem. Just before he enters into the gates of Jerusalem, where his death will happen. We are 1 week away from that entry into Jerusalem. We're 1 week away. And spring is springing all over the place. And the yellow is all over our cars. But the spring smells are placed to remind us of the fragrance of grace. You know, we've had quite a few words in our Lenten light, diminishing light. And I wonder if we ever think about what is the fragrance of condemnation? What is the fragrance of betrayal? What is the fragrance of death? Because when we choose to be followers not of Christ, but of ourselves and of the world, those are the fragrances that we carry with us. May people, when they meet us, say, you smell like grace. Or like Thor did. Worf, not Thor. Sorry, we had lots of dogs. You smell like Leo. May people be able to see us and smell us, maybe, as followers of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.